Good morning. Good morning, Turtle Island. Can you hear the trees? This is Miranda with Troubled. It's October 12th. I'm just walking around barefoot, trying not to shank myself on blades of grass and ground ever so slightly in Turtle Island in the open secret of assimilation, residential programs, and generations of genocide of our indigenous peoples. You know, no trigger warnings. Super fluffy stuff. Super fluffy stuff. No, but really, the fact that most of the people who just heard me are like, girl, assimilation was over 200 years ago. All those pictures are black and white. They didn't even have cameras. What am I talking about? Those pictures are fake. It's propaganda. You need to, like, seriously Google yourself. Like, 100%. No Wikipedia shit. Don't even bother with that shit. I need you all to self-educate. It's the same with me. We all need to self-educate. If any of us are in any way complicit in perpetrating, you know, this idea that assimilation is something in the past, then we're part of the problem, right? We are being complicit in our complacency collectively, and that shit has got to stop, okay? So assimilation is not something of the past, and if you're unfamiliar with assimilation or residential schools at all, then I'm going to keep this quick because you have rabbit holes upon rabbit holes to dive through, my friend. But really quick, for those of you who, I don't know how your people were not from a colonized country originally and, you know, didn't learn about that from your ancestors, which, I mean, I thought a lot of us did, but I do have a privilege. Let me pause myself. I'm very privileged to know exactly who my motherfucking people are. I mean, we literally get a laminated book every Christmas. Like, one of my dad's cousins is like, here's the new more information about the O'Connors, right? I know who all my ancestors are. We know exactly where they came from. We know exactly what they did. You know, we're really big into that. And that is a privilege. There have been plenty of times that I've dated guys whose last names are not their last names, right? And they have no idea. There's no way to trace that. And so I hope that people like myself who can remember where our people came from and remember what they stood for can really walk stably in those paths. You know, there's like no excuse. If I pulled any bigotry out of my ass, my ancestors would smite me. Well, no. Because of my dad. I love him. Anyways, but yeah, I mean, we know how we're supposed to walk. But I guess my point was, on Turtle Island, especially in the U.S., most of us are immigrants escaping colonialism. So what did that look like for my people? So in Ireland, they also had residential programs. And this is what colonialism, colonization, specifically of the imperial flavor, does. It goes into an area and it has to replace everything about their culture so that they can whitewash, appropriate, and assimilate them. That means their religion, that means, you know, their cultural social standards need to be changed, all this jazz. So yes, there were schools in Ireland as well. We wouldn't look at them as residential schools. We'd look at them as mother and baby homes, places for bastard children, which did make me nauseous to say out loud, and I should probably like not use some words for shock value if they're just going to shock me and confuse me as to what I'm saying. But yeah, so there was that. And what's fun for me is it's like 1996 when the world decides that this isn't acceptable. So it's 1996 in the United States and Canada, Turtle Island, where residential schools specifically targeted at the indigenous are cut out. But reminder that at this time, the tough love industry is full fucking swing. And so all those kids are still going into the same funnels they would have gone to. It's just, we're not going to call it because they're indigenous anymore. We're going to say they've got PTSD or behavioral issues, or come up with some way to funnel them through the state still into this industry. And so what did that look like for kids? Oh, fuck, I'm not going to get too into it, but there's really no pretty way to put it. The reality is that these children were abducted from their families en masse, like CFS and CPS is still doing in targeting indigenous children. And then everything about their identity was literally beaten out of them. I don't know. I'm sure there's a name. I don't know what theirs would have been called. So the same thing in Ireland. So in Ireland, you would have a stick around the child's neck. And every time they spoke in Irish, they would make a little cut on the stick. And at the end of the day, they would beat the child so many wallops
it was called a tally stick. Like, literally, it's a tally stick. We're tallying up how many times you need to be beat because you remembered you were Irish today. Same thing with Indigenous kids. Although, I guess when you do get really deep, especially with the nuns, when you get into the religious homes specifically, they're all incredibly abusive. But to be very fucking clear, we literally still have groups that are like petitioning specific states to exhume bodies. Because even though these programs, and again, just the ones specifically focused on the Indigenous, and again, Indigenous kids went like crazy to Elon and all these other programs as well. But for these specific places, like the Carlisle School and others, there are still bodies of children that died there or were murdered there that have not yet been exhumed. And the U.S. government is just really not trying to work with that. It's the same thing in Ireland, too. Mother and baby homes, they found over 900 infant to toddler bodies in the sewers of Tomb. And it's been years and they still won't approve exhuming the bodies. I think a big part of the not wanting to exhume the bodies is because survivors want a DNA database and they're like, we don't have that money. And also we don't want to tell you how many Irish children we sold to America. But anyways, wrong Indigenous people. So for those of us who are living in Turtle Island, we're literally being hosted without permission. Did my family flee, you know, imperial colonialism from the British? Yes. Were we political refugees? Absolutely. Am I grateful that we were hosted here? Yes. But it's like I've been squatting in someone's house, right? And then the bank comes to take the house back based on like a penny that wasn't paid, you know, three mortgages back that actually like was paid. And why are they even paying a mortgage on their own house? Like, their grandfather built it and grandma didn't take out a reverse mortgage and it's all a broken treaty situation. We really need to figure out where we're at so that we can like do something. I think that everyone who's living on Turtle Island right now has an obligation to the land they were born and raised in and reared in to really self-educate and to come into some level of advocacy to support Indigenous peoples in, you know, asserting their human rights. All of these treaties have been broken. If you look currently in Canada with the Mi'kmaq tribe, I mean, they've got like boaters ramming First Nation boats, Mi'kmaq boats, setting them on fire, you guys, stealing their lobster traps. This shit is insane. And that's like not even the worst of it. The worst of it is that still to this day, this whole missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirits, this is a real fucking thing. It's human trafficking. People, monsters, have realized that they can like literally just, you know, it's like drive-through shopping near the tribes because they know that, you know, the tribal security police authorities only have so much, you know, there's a word and you know what word I mean, jurisdiction. And then the official people, like, they're just like, fuck the tribes, right? So they're not actually helping. And this isn't new news. And if it's new news for you, check out the podcast Finding Cleo or Finding Chloe. I have ADHD, so Cleo, Chloe, they're the same thing, okay? Check that out. It's amazing. And there's so much to get into. But there's violence rates that I think are 10 times higher. I think their murder rate is 5 times higher. And it's like 80 or 90%. Of Indigenous women will experience domestic violence. Maybe it's not domestic violence, but it is like sexualized violence, right? So domestic means she knows him. Let's be very real. Most of the people that are causing harm on the Indigenous communities are not from within the Indigenous communities. Like, that's not how that's working. What about the narrative y'all were told? I learned in elementary school that there weren't many Indigenous left, but that they lived on reservations and that because they were so depressed, they were all drunks, right? I remember watching video going through a reservation where all the adults were like in squatted positions outside, super wasted and like fighting with each. It was crazy. And I repeated that as an adult, and I thought I wasn't judging, right? I was like, it totally makes sense that these people are self-medicating on the level they're self-medicating on because of all of the traumas, right? But that's still propaganda. because Indigenous people are not all drunks. You know, like, I don't know what their real alcoholism rate is. Do you? I know that all the men I knew in my family were drunks. So there is that. Anyways, there's a lot of things that we need to look into. Coenzyl Pro and AIM. I don't think we've talked about Coenzyl Pro here yet. J. Edgar Hoover's version of the FBI created Coenzyl Pro to target, infiltrate, dismantle, neutralize civil rights movements, specifically MLK, the Black Panthers, and AIM, the American Indigenous Movement. And AIM still is currently being attacked. I think one of their, you know, like, rec centers was, like, burnt down recently. So, you know, please look into those and please support them. And there's tons of Indigenous expression jazz. But yeah, just wanted to go on a pre-coffee rant, see who else out there on Turtle Island is really trying to be focused. I think that I'm not sure that we can move forward without returning our lands to the Indigenous. I don't think there's another way. I would love to have that conversation with members of the Indigenous communities and how they see that playing out. But, you know, just look at Ohio. Ohio made, I believe it was, Supreme Court decisions to return specific lands to their tribes or to put them within their territories again. And you've got lots of landowners in these areas that generationally have grown up working with the tribes, where they sign their land over to be returned to the tribes upon their death. And I know a lot of people are like, but we want to sell it or inherit it. Let me be really clear here. I'm going to make this 100% personal so that nobody takes any offense to this. Again, my family got here in 1898, escaping the British. Land to the Irish, if you didn't know, is a really big thing. But this is not my land. I'm walking barefoot on Turtle Island. I grew up here. I've had an intimate connection with the nature here, and I love it. I respect it, and it's personal for me, okay? But I'm being fostered here. When I went to Ireland last year, I mean, like, my hair was amazing. My hair was amazing in the homeland. I felt so much better. I mean, I didn't have to worry about sun killing. I'm in Texas, you guys. I know, dumb, right? But, you know, just little things. I felt at home there on a vibrational frequency, even though, I'm not saying that obviously the Irish and I don't have everything in common. I'm American, right? But I grew up in Connecticut and spent a decade in New York, and I spent 7 years in Texas. The people and the way that they engage, embrace, and deal with you, it's just totally different. People welcomed us home the whole time we were there. We were able to just run around freely in all the magical places that we'd, like, thought about and dreamed of and fantasized about. There's nothing I want more than to move there forever. I mean, that's always been my goal. And after going and realizing that it wasn't this silly girl fantasy, it's 100%. Like, my biggest regret is when I had saved up my money a few months ago, I didn't just sell everything and go there, right? So that's in my 2-year plan. You know, I want to be there. So for me personally, this is like, I owe the Indigenous peoples of Turtle Island whatever service they will accept from me while I am still here. Just like I want a united Ireland, a free Ireland. Free, because it is not. It is not free, okay? I want a free Turtle Island. I want both my ancestors' homeland and the land of my birth to be free and to be in the hands, represented by and caretaked by the peoples that are of it, that are just of it, you know? And we've all got our boo-boos, and no one's perfect, and that's fine. But the reality is, like, Turtle Island is like hostage. We're under a hostile occupation. Colonization didn't end. And people keep asking why we can't move forward, either with this issue
or civil rights issues in general, all of them. They're, why? Oh, this stuff was handled back when the black and white propaganda pictures were taught to me in second grade, you know, and all this shit. We cannot move forward. So, for me personally, again, it is a priority that we activate as much motivation towards a land back program as if we were to be liberating Ireland from English control, you know. And both of those things are very complicated, and I get it. And I don't think either of those situations leads to a mandatory mass eviction, okay? But also the reality for me is I want to go home. It's not like, I guess I don't have the same problem a lot of other people have where they're like, would they kick us out? This is my home. I want to be here. I don't think that's part of the conversation. I've never seen that be so much an issue when I'm seeing Indigenous leaders speak about land back concepts. But regardless, again, until Hawaii is free, I'm sorry, until Hawaii is free and Ireland and Turtle Island, well, then all of the ghosts of colonization and systemic oppression, I mean, they still have flesh and blood and bones. You know, we can't keep pretending like people keep dredging shit up and trying to make things out to be something they're not, or, oh, you always want to see, you know, friction and crisis and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know what narratives that you guys get, but a lot of the narratives that I get out here in Texas are that all of these civil rights issues were handled, you know, before we were born, and this is just propaganda to get us to hate America. And I don't think that's true. Bringing it back to missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirits real quick. Again, in Turtle Island, we really like to indoctrinate our young children through animation, specifically our young girls through Disney. We like to kill their parents and get them to give away their fins and voice and friends and family for some boy that they only saw unconscious one time, you know? Obviously, you know where I'm going. We're going to talk really quick about Pocahontas. This is totally part of the issue, you guys. So Pocahontas in the Disney movie, firstly, is like way older than Pocahontas in real life, who was like 11 or 12. Let's just be like straight up. That was a child, not this gorgeous, long-legged 18-year-old girl-ish that we see in the animation. And the point, apparently, is that, again, just like Ariel, leaving all of your people, your culture, your language, your life for love and to completely conform yourself to something that's just doesn't even like you, that is the way to go, girls. And she's a hero for it. She's a hero for leaving her people and whitewashing herself, literally, if you've seen Pocahontas 2, and all that jazz. But the reality of the situation, again, 11, 12-year-old child, it's not a love story. She's the first recorded, to my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, please do. Seriously, correct me if I'm wrong on this shit. I shouldn't even be talking about it. Missing and murdered Indigenous woman, Two-Spirit girl. Literally, she's their first one. Her name, Pocahontas, to my knowledge, means like a wild spirited, like, or ill-behaved child. You know, like she's like a sprightly, fiery kid. It's a nickname. And I can't pronounce real names, and I'm so sorry, but I can't even pronounce my own last name. Let's just be real, because, again, colonization. But it was Matawaka or Matoaka or whatever you would have said. And she literally, as a child, is abducted and married off. I mean, she's raped. She's kidnapped and raped, you know? And then she's basically sold off, taken to a foreign land where she gets sick and dies because the English are so disgusting. Oh, reminder, I feel like there was also a narrative that the Indians, which, God, can we stop using that word, says the girl who just used it. But the Indigenous were so grateful for the colonizers because they were so primitive and dirty, you know, and didn't have any of this whatever technologies. In reality, the colonizers are disgusting, completely filthy, have no levels of hygiene. And I just wanted to bring that up because I think that's a false narrative too. And it plays in
Because when you look at what happened, I mean, the colonizers coming to this country, like, murdered, you know, like, there's the, like, deliberate genocides all over the place. But then there's a boops, which we didn't know. We brought all these bacterias and weird little bugs on our skin from the land where we pour our shit in the street, you know, our bad. And it kills amazing amounts of people. And that's what happens to Pocahontas when she goes to England, which is not something she wanted to do. You know, she's not following true love. Anyone who saw Pocahontas 2 was confused anyways, because they swapped their Johns out anyways. And that should have been a sign, okay? But whatever. The reality is that the public narrative of Indigenous history and Indigenous struggles is completely appropriated. It's been appropriated and assimilated, as is their policy with Indigenous issues. And it's required because all of us have to believe that this is something that happened a really long time ago that's been handled. And there's just a few people out there trying to make shit hard for the rest of us, bringing shit up that's not even relevant anymore, and trying to make people think that white people hate people that aren't white. When, if we were having a James Baldwin conversation, though, that would be true, though, because, like, white hates white. Like, that's the whole, you know? And if you think you're white, this is the wrong podcast for you, baby. So, I got perm banned on TikTok live feed for giving my little James Baldwin white genocide, like, lecture, which is one I'm comfortable giving because it should fucking come from us, y'all. The white man is an oppressive delusion. The elitists allow you to call yourselves white because they needed control over peasant classes and they weren't going to get it. And so that's what that is. And so if you really are anti-racist in every way possible, you are going to destroy this concept of whiteness, both in yourself and in your collective reality. You know, that's what white genocide is. It's not just a passive refusal to participate. It is a proactive destruction of this context with this complex of whiteness, right? So dig into that, though. The Harlem Renaissance, you guys, like, lots of brilliant shit that comes out of there. But, like, yeah, definitely with James Baldwin. And then also, like, my first sapiosexual intellectual crush, Stokely Carmichael. Just everything. Just enjoy. So whether you are going to be renting out your little spot on Turtle Island for, you know, for just a few more months or a few more years like me, because you've got a plan, or whether this is your home and this is where you're going to be for the rest of your life, and even more so if it's the latter, I really, really desperately implore you to put some fucking skin in the game on this, because this is not only required learning, but it's required action. As long as we continue to subconsciously or superconsciously or otherwise use colloquial concepts such as, you know, scalping with something the Indigenous did instead of something that was done to them, and if that's confusing for you, there are plenty of archival newspaper ads where they're offering this much money per Indian scalp, right? That's literally what scalping was. So, and people, you know, are like, well, Indian scalp. I've seen the Westerns. I've seen them. And I know they flipped it. Okay? And also, Indian giving. When you think of Indian giving, are you thinking of Columbus giving glass beads to the Indigenous? Or are you thinking of Indigenous people giving land to colonizers and then going to war with them to take it back? Which... are either of them true? If we have all of these environmental issues on Turtle Island, who's the best person to turn that all around? I mean, who really has the most knowledge and applicable experience working with this flora, fauna, and biological system that we've got going on here? And did you know that in the United States of America, the Independent Party, not independents politically like myself, but the Independent Party, is running Mark Charles, a Navajo man, for president? You probably didn't. I know that there's a huge propaganda system that says our third-party votes are wasted votes, and this is not a political podcast, and I'm not going to get into that with you, although I may need to just switch over to a political podcast now that there's so many trouble teen industry podcasts. Like, I would much rather just talk mass shit about the mass propaganda machine. But, you know, I've literally every single video that I've ever posted to TikTok about Mark Charles was immediately shadow banned. Immediately shadow banned. And is there a reasonable option for a third party to win in the United States this time? Actually, yes, because there's a lot of new voters who have not already been brainwashed into this bully system. But because the U.S. Reneged on this agreement that the libertarians were going to be in the debates because of the percentage of votes they got last time, I don't think that there's visibility enough for that to happen unless something drastically changes about visibility. It is unfortunate, though, that the party that had the most shot, especially if that gets fixed, is like not radical enough for me. Mark Charles is the radical one for me. But I'm an undecided voter in America. Like, what are you going to do? Like, this is life as an independent. But Mark Charles, as an example of a Navajo man, an indigenous man, and his political views, their perspective is much more rooted in reality. And it is, I vibe it more. Like, example, are you aware that in the United States Constitution, there are no female pronouns. None. Did you know that indigenous people are referred to as savages in the Constitution? Did you ever read the 13th Amendment? The 13th Amendment legalizes slavery. Also, black people are considered 3/4 of a person. That's our current 2020 United States Constitution. And I used to be a huge constitutionalist, and now would love just those tiny little changes to be made. And that's like first thing on his billing. So things like that. This is like radical shift. Jazz, you guys, it's root stuff. We have to deal with the root of the issue. Other words, we're playing like whack-a-mole with the symptoms. So systemic oppression needs to be completely dismantled at the root. And then all of these magical flavors, these little pop-ups of all the ways you can experience it will dissipate. You know, they're symptoms. So if we actually put the antibiotic in the system, it'll work. But otherwise, we're going to have to hack this bitch. Check out the song Burundi. It's been my recent on loop. But yeah, we're totally a hacker in your system and a virus in your hard drive. Because a lot of us were put on this planet to dismantle these systems. This is our job. And I want to give us credit where credit's due because I do see traction. But not saying that we are the most experienced or qualified for this position, but something in the universe thought we could do it. So here we are, just talking our asses off, walking around out here in the fields, uncaffeinated on October 12th. So I'm going to wrap this shit up because I think I've heard enough of myself this morning. And unfortunately, you may have too. But anyways, definitely look into all these issues I mentioned. A bunch of the documentaries and jazz specifically from the indigenous communities, because if we want to be educated about a community, we need to be educated by that community. Other words, the outside perspective you have is always going to be incorrect. It's impossible for it to have enough intimate inside information to be real, to genuinely reflect that community. So please, let's get a little fucking humble on the land we've been squatting on, because we owe it something. So if you are a patriot or just a genuinely good person, let's get with that. Nationalists need not apply because your nation isn't even fucking real. But yeah, I said I wouldn't get political. My coffee is starting to happen. I'm going to log off so that I don't do the boopsies. All right, you guys. Whew. It's a great task. But it is your mission, should you choose to accept it, to walk with your ancestors, dismantle all systems of oppression that you profit from, are privileged by, or can even get in the room to sit at the table to host this conversation and pass the fucking microphone. And we don't have much more time to do it. This is imperative. This is our calling. So either you're 100% against systemic oppression, and you're in it to win it, for the people, or you're just listening to the wrong fucking podcast. Have a good morning.